You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
It's May 6th. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. I've got three briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First up, alarm bells are ringing in Europe this morning with pending attacks likely from Islamic radicals and Russian saboteurs. I've got the details, plus a reminder of why we should care. Second, the U.S. military is being pushed around the Middle East this morning by some longtime partners who don't really want us there anymore. We'll talk about how this could impact you and I and our families. Third, another update for us out of the Middle East with a bigger war in the Gaza Strip now on the horizon. We'll talk about that, plus two unwelcome surprises for Israel and why they matter to us. Later, two listener questions today, offering us some good news and a lot of hope. The first is about something called Huntington's disease. The second is about the AI revolution, bringing back a voice that we had lost years ago. But before we get to that, let's get to our top stories of the morning. Alarm bells are ringing across the continent of Europe this morning with warnings about attacks from both the Russians and Islamic radicals. We begin with an update about the Russians. The Financial Times reports that Moscow is now in advanced stages of planning continent-wide attacks on critical infrastructure and military targets. Russian President Vladimir Putin believes that the war with Ukraine, and of course the allies in Europe and the United States, is going to last for years, and his country needs to be prepared to launch more covert action operations far beyond the front lines in Ukraine. And that is why the head of Germany's domestic intelligence agency said last week that his service believes with high confidence that Russia is prepared to engage in things like covert bombings, arson attacks, and damaging infrastructure like rail, port, water, and electricity grids. And they will do so with either Russian sabotage teams or some proxy groups like Russian mobsters that will actually conduct operations on Moscow's behalf. Now, Putin is allegedly unconcerned with civilian fatalities throughout Europe, believing that the West, the Europeans, are now in a state of war with Russia, and that all targets, both civilian and otherwise, are on the table. As listeners may recall, this growing Russian threat is not exactly a shocker. As I briefed you back on March 4th, there had been clear indicators over the winter and into the spring that Moscow had rebuilt their spy and sabotage teams throughout the continent. And by the way, if you'd like to re-explore that episode, gosh, I sure encourage you to do so. But if you can't, the links for that are in today's transcripts. But nevertheless, in addition to what we knew over the winter and the spring with the Russians active in places like Spain and killing people down there, well, in addition to all that, we can now add other countries to the list. We know that in the United Kingdom, for example, two alleged Russian saboteurs set fire to a warehouse just a couple of weeks ago that contained shipments to Ukraine. Next, we now have the Czech Republic. Russia tried to destroy some train signaling equipment in that nation a couple of weeks back. That is according to the country's transportation minister. Also in Sweden, security services there are investigating some derailments that the country's intel services believe were state-sponsored and probably the Russians. Finally, we've got Germany. Two German-Russian nationals were arrested just a couple of weeks ago for an alleged plot that was attacking some military and logistics sites in that country, doing so on behalf of Moscow. So all in all, NATO members have been warning each other over the past couple of months about this growing Russian threat, plus, as you would imagine, sharing classified intel behind the scenes about what they should all expect. So that is one set of challenges that Europe faces this morning. We also have another one that we have to talk about too, and that is radical Islam. The U.S. State Department warned Americans last week that should you all go to Germany in particular, you should, quote, exercise increased caution as terrorist groups keep planning attacks in Germany, end quote. They added that terrorists may strike with little to no advanced warning, hitting hotels, restaurants, clubs, parks, cultural events, and sports arenas. That latter category of sports is a major problem because the neighboring country of France is slated to host the Summer Olympics in just about 2 months' time. And while it is true that the Olympics are not going to be held in Germany, we also know this. France has the largest number of Muslims that live in Europe, about 5.7 million. Germany is a close second at about 5 million, with the UK, Italy, the Netherlands, and Spain all having over 1 million apiece. And it is from those millions and millions that are now throughout living throughout European nations this morning that we are hearing from the U.S. government that perhaps those nations might not be able to stop those radical Islamists from destroying things and people alike. So those sobering facts and data, ladies and gentlemen, let me offer you my analysis and opinion, thinking about why we should care. So let's start with the Russian threat. So what's clear this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is that the U.S. and Europe are at war with Russia. And all parties involved know that. So on one side, we know that the U.S. and Europe have boots on the ground in Ukraine, specifically the special forces and the spies. In fact, as I briefed you on, you might recall, the CIA operates a dozen or so bases along the front lines in Ukraine. They are there to help target Russian soldiers and war materiel. We also learned over the weekend that the United Kingdom has authorized President Volodymyr Zelensky and his military to fire British weapons inside of Russia, not just inside of Ukraine. That decision comes on top of some recent news that we learned that the U.S. is also providing some similar weaponry that can also fire much further into Russian territory, about 200 miles, and the White House has already given Zelensky the green light to do that, to fire deeply into Russian territory that was authorized back in February. So the point is that undeniably, there is an all but declared war between the West and Russia. Thus, folks, we would expect that Mr. Putin would conduct some sabotage operations throughout the continent, targeting what he views to be the enemy's supply chain. So to just state the obvious, this situation we have this morning in Europe is extraordinarily dangerous, because the more clandestine lethal operations you have between the Americans and the Europeans and the Russians, it means that you are running the greater risk of having accidents or unintended damage. And that could then justify a broader declaration of war, which would be an overt war, which would be World War III. And on top of that, we have the radical Islamic threat. So let's just put this one bluntly. This is a threat that we all saw coming for years. And to help us remind us of this, let me remind you all of something that I shared with you previously, that the foreign minister of the United Arab Emirates said back in 2017. We talked about this early last week, but here's the quote again. Quote, "The Islamic radical voices we hear calling for murder, shedding blood, stealing the wealth of people are in London, Germany, Spain, and Italy. There will come a day when we see far more radicals, extremists, and terrorists coming from Europe, not the Middle East, because of a lack of tough decision-making and trying to be politically correct. These European nations will be incubators of terror if they don't address this problem of terrorism in their lands," end quote. Well, he was right. The leftist governments that have mostly run Europe for the past 20 years have let in some of the most vile people imaginable into their countries. These newcomers, shall we call them, want to destroy the West, Christianity, and modernity, and replace it with something called an Islamic caliphate, which is an Islamic global government. And that fundamentally is what the State Department is recognizing and telling us this morning. The fight is on, and the fight is in Europe. So why should we care about all that stuff in Europe? Well, I think three reasons. First, if you're planning any travel to Europe, I would exercise profound caution over the next 6 months or so, because law enforcement and intel agencies in Europe have to be right 100% of the time to stop both Russian sabotage and Islamic terror attacks, say nothing of other threats like, you know, the Chinese, right? But here's the bad news. These intel and law enforcement officers in Europe are not going to be able to stop 100% of that stuff. Just not going to happen. So people are going to die. Second, we need to care about Europe because, as folks probably recall, Europe is a vital trade partner of ours. So if they get hit by the Russians or Islamic radicals, then we lose some portion of our trade, which means losses for our farms and factories and maybe workers like you or your friends and family. Third and finally, what's happening in Europe with those terrorists and the saboteurs? Well, folks, you all know this. It's happening here too. America's southern border has collapsed. We've now got 8 million illegals who are roaming this country, the vast majority of which were absolutely unvetted. The Biden White House and other Democrats throughout the country are calling these folks newcomers. But the truth is, we don't know who they are or really what to call them because there was no screening process. So maybe they are just the poor, you know, folks out there yearning to breathe free, as the Statue of Liberty might tell us. They just want to make some money. Or maybe they're actually Islamic radicals or sabotage teams from Russia or China. Again, we don't know. And the odds are that we won't know until it's too late, as the State Department is now warning European travelers. Terrorists strike, ladies and gentlemen, with little to no advanced warning. So that is the heartbreaker of this moment in American history, or really global history. The West is at war with Russia and radical Islam at the same time. Now, as ever, both of those threats can be addressed. DC and our partners in Europe can sue for peace in Ukraine. And then we can remove the 8 million newcomers, one plane load at a time. But if we don't, if we fail in either of those two regards, then certainly on the radical Islam front, the foreign minister of the UAE or the United Arab Emirates will be proven correct. We will become incubators of terror and chaos, just like Europe is experiencing this morning. So I would encourage us to keep that in mind when we vote this coming November, because as always, that vote is where and how this starts to change. It is a White House issue. Ultimately, it is about strong leadership, my friends, and a willingness to use it. And with that, let us take our first break of the morning with some better news to come later in the podcast, I promise. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com and reading each day's transcripts with all the sourcing, thank you. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks. Please do enjoy these next messages from Super Beats and American Heart for Gold. They make this podcast a reality. We'll be right back. It has been 5 months since I first started Super Beats Heart Chews, and I am so glad I did. With just two little chews a day, I get a shot of energy, plus performance and endurance. I take mine at breakfast, and from that point on, I am set with that great daily energy boost. But that's not all. If you pair Super Beats with a healthy lifestyle, the antioxidants in these chews are clinically shown to be nearly 2 times more effective at promoting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. So do what I did. Go to getsuperbeats.com. That's BEETS.com and choose from one of their bundles. When you check out, make sure, though, you use promo code RIGHT. And if you do, you are going to get a 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews for free and 15% off your first order. Wow. So go to getsuperbeats.com and use that promo code RIGHT and get that heart-healthy energy that you need and support for healthy blood pressure, too. You are going to be so glad you did. A few episodes back, we spoke about how the U.S. and Europe are considering whether to seize Russian assets, and they will do that to pay for the war in Ukraine. We spoke about how that could degrade both the U.S. dollar and our pocketbooks. So if you're looking for ways to diversify your investments based on that risk, and boy, we should, consider physical gold and silver, and consider American Hartford Gold as you do. They are the precious metal dealer that I use and trust. When you give them a call, they'll explain how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by purchasing physical gold and silver. And feel so comfortable doing that, folks, using American Hartford Gold, as they have an A-plus ranking from the Better Business Bureau. So either give them a call at 866-353-2694. Again, that is 866-353-2694. Or just text them. Text RIGHT to 65532. That's easy. Again, that's WRIGHT to 65532. And when you do this, by the way, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first order, depending on your total purchase. So again, that's 866-353-2694. Or text my last name, RIGHT, to 65532. And folks, buy that physical gold and silver and do it with American Hartford Gold. Welcome back to the Right Report. Let's continue with our briefs this morning with more international news. The U.S. military is being pushed around the Middle East this morning by some longtime partners who don't really want us there anymore. The Wall Street Journal reported on Friday The United States has ramped up the relocation of some jet fighters, reconnaissance planes, and armed drones from the country of the United Arab Emirates, or UAE, to the neighboring country of Qatar. And that is because the leaders of UAE were worried that a U.S. military presence might provoke Iran or their proxy groups or forces like the Houthis in Yemen to attack them. So this decision comes after actually another one back in February by the UAE that at the time told the Pentagon that they had to get their permission before ever conducting any airstrikes in either Yemen or Iraq against any Iranian proxies. But now the U.S. military, to a degree, is being told, forget the permission stuff, just go elsewhere. And that is quite something, given the long military collaboration between the U.S. and the UAE. So we know that back in the 1990s, they contributed about 6 airfields and their forces to help us evict Saddam Hussein from Iraq. They have also participated in a whole bunch of other operations, including in Afghanistan, Kosovo, Somalia, and Libya. But now, from this point on, the U.S. military will be pushed a little bit further away from the UAE and squished a little bit more into Qatar. So what does that mean and why should we care? Well, let me offer that analysis and opinion, pivoting now from facts and data. First, when you are the U.S. military and you want to conduct global operations, having more turf is generally better than less turf. So losing turf or being limited by the UAE is not a good thing if, say, the president asks you to accomplish a certain mission in the Middle East. It just makes it harder to protect U.S. interests. Second, let's talk about why this is happening and why we should care. So to me, what this demonstrates is that the global view of American power and prestige is on a downward spiral. Right? There was an era when a president could pick up the phone and tell the UAE to reverse their decision, or they would have never considered it to begin with, because we were strong, decisive, and people feared us. But that is no longer the case. This White House in particular is a part of a long journey, really, of the decline of American leadership and fear of American might. So that means, folks, that as our power and our prestige start to dwindle, our enemies are more likely to do us harm. And that is true at home and abroad. And that's why this matters. That's why good leadership matters. Regardless, I will keep watching this and see if this trend continues in the Middle East and beyond of us losing influence. Because as I've offered you previously, this could be a good thing, ultimately, if we are pushed out of the Middle East. It could force us to build more oil and gas infrastructure in this country to be truly energy independent after we had that amazing shale oil revolution that started about 10 years ago or so. In other words, maybe we could make some lemonade out of these lemons. But still, you would much rather exit that region on your terms with strength and as a part of a strategy. In other words, getting pushed out, pushed around, that is not the way to go. More to come. Finally, this morning, we stay in the Middle East for another update out of the Gaza Strip. As the on-again and off-again ceasefire talks continue this morning, the likelihood of success dwindled pretty dramatically overnight. Hamas admitted on Sunday that it had fired some rockets that hit an Israeli military position near a humanitarian aid crossing. 3 Israeli soldiers were killed. Others were gravely wounded. Israel responded with a counterstrike, hitting the city of Rafah, that is where Hamas's rockets were originally fired from. Hamas then announced late last night that it was withdrawing from the peace negotiations or the ceasefire negotiations. The two sides couldn't apparently agree on the future role of Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Well, as the ceasefire talks are now all but dead this morning, U.S. leadership is going to be tested, especially in the next 48 hours. That's because the Biden White House had demanded that the government of Qatar must throw out Hamas from their country if these ceasefire talks failed. For folks unaware, the terror group's senior leadership are all located in that country of Qatar. So we'll see if Mr. Biden and his team can force the government of Qatar to, well, do something, do a little less talking, a little more action. Meanwhile, the Israeli War Cabinet announced yesterday that given the failed ceasefire talks, they will move forward with their operations in Rafah, where the bulk of the remaining Hamas militants are holed up, along with over 1 million civilians. But there are now 2 surprises that Israel is dealing with this morning as they're considering going into Rafah. The first has to do with those Hamas fighters burrowed in the tunnels below. The Jerusalem Post reports that Hamas has thousands more fighters than initially believed. Exactly how many is unclear. The classified intelligence and the public reporting apparently don't match. But what is clear is that Hamas is larger in size than initially believed. And that means that as Israel considers its likely operation to finish them off in Rafah, the challenge is going to be much greater than perhaps expected. And that's likely what the Israelis briefed Biden officials on late last week. Apparently, they wanted the White House to be aware of the attack plans if the ceasefire talks failed, which has now happened. And that is why the Associated Press reported that when Biden's team heard from the Israelis about what the plans are in Rafah, they did not like those plans. They believe that however the Israelis try to pull it off, it won't work. In fact, the Biden folks say that there will be mass casualties of some of the 1 million plus Palestinians who were squished into that city of Rafah. Now, as ever, those civilians could be accepted as refugees in either Egypt or Jordan at any point, really. But to date, both of those Muslim nations have absolutely refused to let any of those folks in due to their concerns about Palestinian extremism and terrorism. Those concerns go back decades. And that is why all parties involved in this conflict this morning want to keep this problem and those people bottled up in Gaza and in Rafah until somebody can figure something out. Which takes us to our second surprise of the morning. Last week, and likely after the White House got that brief on Israel's Rafah plan, the Pentagon put a hold on ammunition supplies or shipments to Israel. The artillery shells in question were supposed to be delivered to Israel over the weekend, but Mr. Biden's team stopped the transfer. No reason was given to the Israelis, and that sent the government there in a flurry of diplomatic activity to get some answers. So far, no official response. There were no 155 artillery shells that were shipped over the weekend and still won't be as of this morning. In other words, folks, the Israelis now have two surprises to deal with this morning. The first is they've got an enemy that is a little bit bigger than they expected. And second, they've got fewer weapons to use against them. Of course, all at the direction of Mr. Biden and his national security team. Although, come to think of it, perhaps Mr. Biden's re-election team was also involved in this decision. So to discuss that and why we should care, let's pivot now from facts and data to analysis and opinion. So let's just recap everybody's motivations in the Middle East this morning, shall we? First, we've got Hamas. They want all the Jews to die, and they want Israel wiped off the map. And for what it's worth, most Palestinians share that view. Polling or data confirm that that is the case. Next, the Israel and Jews, they don't want to die, and they have no intention of going anywhere. In fact, they have nuclear weapons to just prove the point. Third, Arab countries like Egypt and Jordan don't want to deal with this mess and haven't for decades because they don't want any more Palestinians in their countries. They have been dealing with Palestinian extremism for decades. Meanwhile, we've got Iran. Iran is threatening those nations, that is to say the Egyptians and the Jordanians, plus other Arab countries, that might be inclined to end the Palestinian terror threat by ending Hamas. But with Iran flexing its military might this morning, making all kinds of threats, it makes a lot of these Arab countries and the Arab man on the street pretty anxious, pretty nervous. And that is why some of these countries, like the UAE, are pushing U.S. troops out of the way. And of course, we've got Mr. Joe Biden. He would really like for this all to go away as well, because his base of supporters, from college kids to Marxists to major funders like George Soros, his base has, they have all sided with either Hamas or other assorted Islamic terrorists. And as folks know, that motley crew is trashing university campuses all around the country this morning as a flex to demonstrate their strength to their more moderate Democrats. But Biden needs all of that stuff to just simmer down, or otherwise he's going to lose this electoral race, and it's coming up this fall in states like Michigan, which of course means that he would lose the presidency. Again, 6 months' time from now. So if I could say all of that differently, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen this morning, all of whom have competing recipes or motivations, and that is why we've got an absolute mess. And while we might be tempted to say that, it's been like this for centuries, and fair enough, one thing I think, though, is new. The United States has long been able to be a more balanced, a powerful cook in that Middle Eastern kitchen. But as we have covered today and in previous briefs, that's just not true anymore. America's president and his party, at least right now, need those Islamic radicals in places like Michigan to win electoral races. And because of that, we are going to see a major change than from what we've seen over the past number of decades. We are going to see some bizarre, unpredictable, illogical policies that just make this kitchen in the Middle East all the more messy. And we already are. The Biden White House, as folks probably will recall from a brief last week, they are allegedly set to allow in more Palestinian people as refugees, knowing their allegiances to Hamas and terrorism. And they also know that Muslim nations like Egypt and Jordan won't take those same people for those same terror reasons. Now, bottom line, the Israeli operations in Rafah are likely to go forward, maybe as early as this week, and that will result in terrible numbers of Palestinian folks dead. That includes Hamas and otherwise, which will further push the Middle East into a degree of instability, and it'll push the Biden White House into a tizzy because their supporters are going to start burning down more stuff and protesting, rioting, and probably throughout the summer. And that means right before those mail-in ballots get sent out to folks like you and me in around September. So that's my prediction. And for what it's worth, I really hope I'm wrong, but I will keep you posted. And we will get through this spring and summer together. We're going to look for good facts and data to guide us through these troubled times. And as ever, we're going to look for some good news, too, to cheer us up along the way when we're feeling otherwise down about this nasty old world. And speaking of, that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to talk about some good news right after our second break, having now concluded this morning's episode of The Right Report. My thanks, by the way, to GhostBed for helping me pay the bills this morning as well. We'll be right back. Good morning. Rise and shine. And as you do, I hope you're pulling yourself off of a great new GhostBed that you bought recently. And if you're not, well, why not? It's the company that I think makes the finest mattresses in all of America. And you all know that's true because I own one. I have the Lux model, but they've got other great models too, like the Classic, the Massage Bed, and a great new price drop on the Hybrid model. But no matter the mattress that you choose from, you gotta get one. These mattresses are built with high-quality materials and fine craftsmanship, and you will feel both when it is delivered right to your doorstep. As always, they have a 101-day trial period with free returns if you ever think you might not like it, which is not going to happen, but it's great to have it anyway. So folks, get yourself a GhostBed and get 50% off when you do. Go to ghostbed.com/right, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, and get that 50% off. Again, that's ghostbed.com/right. And get ready, because once that bed arrives, you will be off to a great night's sleep. I guarantee it.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome back to The Right Report. With two more things before I let you go, it's a set of listener questions today. Some good news sent to us from my paid subscribers at rightreport.substack.com. First up is Robert in Virginia, who wrote this. Brian, I don't know if you know anything about Huntington's disease, but it is a pretty terrible thing. Not a lot of treatment options. But I read this, and I think that more people should know about it, so maybe it just gives somebody out there some hope. Well, Robert, I do know about Huntington's, and my knowledge of it involves my time at the CIA, actually. And while I can't share details about it, I do know this. It can be absolutely devastating for the people and the families affected. And I tell you, having seen it up close and personal, I think it is probably one of the most horrible diagnoses that you can get in terms of a neurological disease. But you're right. There has been a very important and good development over the past week or so that listeners should know about regarding this horrible Huntington's disease. And I am so honored that you brought it up and proud that you did. And I want to share it with folks. Here's what we know. Researchers in Sweden launched a series of studies trying to determine if any existing drugs could treat neurodegenerative diseases, specifically the toxicity of something called poly-Q proteins. So those proteins are found in patients with certain conditions, especially Huntington's disease. And as Robert intimated or pointed out, there is no cure or really hope for a lot of those folks. But through this rigorous study, these scientists in Sweden discovered something pretty remarkable. There's an old drug for leprosy. It's called clofazimine, and it may work incredibly well as a treatment. It proved to be effective in treating that toxicity issue of the poly-Q proteins. Plus, it restored something called mitochondrial function that gets degraded with these neurological conditions. But the problem as of this moment is that this wonderful drug, or one that has profound promise, it's difficult to get into the nervous system. So now researchers are working on creative ways to do that. So for families in which Huntington's is common, this is just incredible news. It is one of the first flashes of light in a dark universe of just hopelessness. And I am so thrilled that there is something on the horizon for those folks. So Godspeed to the researchers. There are so many families out there who are just desperately counting on them to be successful. So prayers up to them. Fantastic news, Robert. Thank you for sharing. Next, we got an email from Melissa and Mark in the fine state of Nebraska. Brian, they wrote, are you a fan of Randy Travis? If so, you got to hear his new song. We have both been in tears listening. And my husband, by the way, is not a crier. Well, Melissa and Mark, I do know what you are talking about. And truth be told, Mark, my allergies too. They flared up while I listened to this song. Terrible thing. So for folks unaware, we have often talked on this program about how AI can destroy things. Like last week, we talked about the principal and his life that was destroyed. But this news is about how AI can restore a life and a voice. And what a voice it is. Country music fans know very well a man named Randy Travis. The crooner, as he was quite popular back in the 1980s and 1990s. He sang both country and Christian music. In 2013, he suffered a massive stroke. And over the years, he worked very hard at trying to recover as much of his physical abilities as he could, but he didn't get a lot. He also lost his singing voice and most of his ability to speak. About a year ago, record executives in Nashville, along with Randy Travis and his family, agreed to try to see if AI could bring to life a AI Randy Travis with the same rich, deep voice and vibrato. So they got to work. And they started by finding a little-known country singer who had a similar rich voice and a beautiful vibrato, just like Randy. And they had him sing a song that is called Where That Came From. And then they went to Randy Travis's archives, and they grabbed about 40 songs that he sang over the years. They stripped out the instruments and they trained the AI system on just his raw voice. They then asked the AI to imagine that song, Where That Came From, sang by Randy, not the backup fellow. And that new song was released on Friday. And I'd like for you to listen to it, at least a part of it. I want you to decide how good AI did or didn't do with Mr. Travis's voice. So first, I want you to listen to a little bit of old Randy before a stroke. And this song is one of his classics. It's called I Told You So.
Suppose I called you up tonight and told you that I love you. And suppose I said I want to come back home. And suppose I cried and said I think I finally learned my lesson. And I'm tired of spending all my time alone.
So that is the real Randy. Now here is AI Randy singing the song entitled Where That Came From.
She had eyes like diamonds and they caught the light. Oh, but they were dark and deeper than the night. When she'd smile, out came the sun, and there ain't no more.
Well, what did you think? As for me, I'll say this. It sounds like Randy is back. And to me, ladies and gentlemen, that is artificial intelligence being used for good. And it helps us conclude this morning's episode of The Right Report. As always, I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.